the power of nature.
Wildcats move on to a Monday night date with Kansas, but the Kentucky coach, very disappointed, John Calipari, and the reaction by some of the fans who decided to go crazy and set cars on fire. What's up with that? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, and so it begins yet another week as we head into April. It's official. Yep. Do you believe it? We got through the weekend, and we didn't win the Mega Millions. Perhaps you tried and didn't win either. $640 million at stake in Illinois and in Kansas and in Maryland. Some people can claim a piece of that very, very big, big prize. I thought, can you imagine if somebody didn't win, if there were no winning tickets, and this thing went up to, who knows, I don't know, $800 million, maybe beyond that, the excitement would have been insane. It already was to an insane level. In California, people lined up at a couple of convenience stores for 5 hours to get tickets. Some of them didn't make it in time, but nobody won in California, so they saved their $5 or $10 or whatever it was that they were going to throw down, but maybe they thought they were going to have the winning number. So we don't know if it was quick picks or it was a group of people or what it was, but somebody has to be feeling pretty lucky, without a doubt. Big change of heart in Syria. That's part of the buzz in the backyard, because when we talk about where we have soldiers, where we have concerns, Syria has been on fire for almost a year, but what Syria doesn't have is oil. So when we look at the international picture, and we've been seeing some of the atrocities there, certainly, where it's beheading people in the streets. Assad has gone crazy, and you've got rebels of all sorts trying to fight them off, but you've had more bloodshed and more, frankly, bodies that just are strewn about these various villages, I think, than anywhere we've seen to this point. So now the United States and a dozen other countries, at least, have been meeting in Istanbul to decide what they're going to do. And the United States is closer to intervening in this Syrian conflict, talking about arming the rebels with equipment and paying the rebels in Syria. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton had these points.
It is a complicated area. There's no doubt about that. But I think most people really want the U.S. involved.
So my question is, do you think we should be involved in Syria? Certainly it's very hard to turn a blind eye when you see, like I said, using the word atrocities, when you see what's happening to the people, but then we also realize where we are, where we're invested already. Ron Paul had one thing right when he said, you know what, we can't take care of our own. At some point we've got to pull out of our foreign interests, or at least some of them, when it comes to deciding to police the world. Maybe we've reached the breaking point. We can't, as much as we want to even help as many people as possible, can we afford to do it? Look where we are, almost at, what is it, $16 trillion before we know it, in debt. So we can't take care of what we've got on our own shores, but yet we're bleeding ourselves dry in other places. Has it come to that where we can't be the savior any longer? 800-259-5791. Keep those digits handy, because that is the big, bad question. Do you think it's time to say, we got to cut off the spigot? We cannot afford to do it any longer. For the first half of last week, and really into Friday, because the Supreme Court justices, the nine of them, met on Friday morning. The talk was over health care, the cost of health care, the horrible things that have happened to people who don't have health care, whether or not people should be forced to have health care or fined if they don't have health care. A big part of the oral arguments happened on the second day, and that had to do with the individual mandate, that's what it's being called, to tell people that they have to have health insurance. If they don't have health insurance, they're going to pay a couple of $1,000 in a fine. The IRS will fine them for not having health insurance. But that wouldn't happen until 2014. That's when that would kick in. Will the Supreme Court just kick this whole thing out? Will they kick out the individual health mandate? Earlier in the week, from a lot of the conversations I was having with constitutional lawyers who proudly say they're conservatives or those who say they are Democratic, seemed to be almost in agreement that it looked like it was going to be 7-2 in favor of just keeping the whole thing. Then, as it got later in the week, the 5-4 number was thrown around a lot, just down conservative lines, and that's what it was going to be, and ultimately everything would be thrown out. And it's one of those things where you have to ask yourself, is it better to have portions of it stand, or is scrapping portions of it going to still lead to higher premiums? And now in talking to more people about what they're paying for health care, it's crazy the amount of money people are paying for health care, from $800 to $1,500 a month. How do you afford $1,500 a month for insurance? But how do you afford not to have insurance, especially if you are prone to accidents or are going to the emergency room or you need it for XYZ? And then is it better to gamble? What happens when you can't afford it, when you have to decide, well, I got to pay the mortgage, or I got to pay for this for the kids, or I have to pay for the car because the car gets me to work? And that's really the decisions a lot of people are making. We know that. And on this show, so many of you call, and we've talked about it, what we thought were solutions, many of us thought were the solutions that could have happened before. And yes, insurance companies, of course, they're going to make a profit. And should they make a profit? Absolutely. Is it the insurance company's fault? Are people being denied coverage when they shouldn't be denied coverage? And it's that wicked web that just keeps getting bigger, bigger, and bigger. So coming up next on America Tonight, one of the people that we talked to is Wendell Potter, and he's a whistleblower. He worked for Cigna for over 20 years. He wrote a book called Deadly Spin that got some buzz, an insurance company insider speaking out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. And that's what he talked about, the, you know, warning people of some of the distortions out there and fundamentally what was happening with so many people with not just premiums, what was happening with the quality of healthcare coverage. So Wendell Potter was one of the more interesting people that I think I talked to the entire time. And I talked to people who were pro-healthcare, the way it stands and the way it was being flushed out. Talked to people who thought, no, if this whole thing goes all the way out through 2015, it'll be a disaster. So I talked to people on all sides of this thing to really get a good sense of where we stand and maybe where we're headed as it gets further along, if it goes further along, because there's a great chance the whole thing gets struck down and we start from scratch once again. So hang with us, Wendell Potter, coming up next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Excited to talk to our next guest out of Washington, D.C., Wendell Porter. What Wendell is he's a whistleblower after 20 years as being a corporate executive with Cigna. He wrote a book called Deadspin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. Wendell, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure, Kate.
I think no matter what anyone's politics are, they would agree the bad guy is the insurance company, because you never know until you get sick, until something happens to you. When you're healthy and you're thriving and surviving and everything's great, you're rolling along, and then all of a sudden that unexpected thing happens and you have to navigate healthcare. That's when it gets scary, isn't it?
It really is, and I think most people understand that on one level, but there's a paradox in that. A lot of Americans seem to think that, well, the system is okay the way it is, without really thinking that their coverage might not be there for them when they really need it, and that they might find themselves in the ranks of the uninsured if they lose their job. So that's one of the reasons I think we find these perplexing poll results, that a majority of Americans are still saying they're not so sure about the Affordable Care Act. When the insurance industry, and I know this from having been a part of it, they know that they are among the least liked industries in the whole world.
When I started this off, I call you a whistleblower, because you and you self-professed whistleblower, of course, 20 years. What did you see that people would be shocked about that you wrote about?
Well, I saw how these companies dump the sick, how they get rid of policyholders that they no longer want. And it's not just individuals, but it's small businesses as well. I think this would probably shock most people. One of the reasons why more and more small businesses are not offering coverage anymore is because they can't afford it. And in many cases, they've been purged, what the industry calls purging. When an employee or a dependent of an employee of a small business gets sick or injured and has high medical bills, the insurance company will take a look at that business and say, you're no longer profitable. We're going to raise your rates up so high that in many cases these companies have no choice but to drop coverage for everybody. And that's why over the past several years, almost more than half of small businesses can no longer afford to offer coverage. As recently as the 1990s, about two-thirds of small businesses were still able to offer coverage. They cannot do that anymore.
Wow. And you saw that those kind of things came across your desk? You saw that happening?
I did. And one of the jobs that I had was to handle financial communications. I had to know how these companies make money and the practices they engage in to be able to meet Wall Street's profit expectations every 3 months. So I know how these companies operate, and I know that when you have a for-profit health insurance industry, these companies have to do things to ensure those profits that are not in the best interest of average Americans and average American families. That is why we have 50 million Americans who don't have insurance. It's not because these people don't want to have coverage. It's because in many cases they can't afford to buy it. And in many other cases, it's because they can't buy it at any price because of the practices of the health insurance industry.
Mm. When you, what made you decide? Because that's a courageous thing to do. If you have a career clicking along and you're doing well, you have family, you're set up, you're going along the American dream. What made you decide to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to blow the whistle on this.
It was a crisis of conscience and a true road to Damascus kind of. Conversion, if you will. I'm from Tennessee. I went back to visit family in the summer of 2007. I just happened to read about something that was called a healthcare expedition that was being held pretty close to where I grew up, and I went just out of curiosity to check it out. And what I found was something I never would have expected to see in this country. It looked like a war zone or a refugee camp because thousands and thousands of people were there lined up in the rain to get health care. Because they couldn't afford to get it, didn't have insurance in many cases, because they weren't able to buy it. They were getting care that's being provided by doctors and nurses volunteering their time in barns and animal stalls. And it occurred to me at that moment, that it was just like a bolt of lightning hit me, that what I was doing for a living was to a certain extent making it necessary for those people to get care that way. And these were people that I could have grown up with. They just have not been lucky. And in many cases, they had lost their jobs and lost their coverage, or they worked for small businesses that could no longer offer coverage. I was part of the problem, and I realized it.
Yeah. How, when you first, what you saw happen, obviously, the Affordable Health Care Act passes, it becomes law. Now we're going through the Supreme Court challenge. But how excited were you when that law finally passed 2 years ago?
Well, it was very exciting to see the law passed because we've been at this 100 years. We've been trying, or efforts have been made over 100 years to try to get a healthcare system that was more rational and more fair. So this was a huge, huge victory for the American people. It wasn't a surprise to me to see that it was challenged. Whenever you're doing something this significant, you're going to be affecting someone's profits and someone's income. So I knew it was just a matter of time before there would be some court challenges, and that's what we're seeing this week here in Washington.
I can't help but do this, but we crystal ball what's going to happen. And so yesterday, I think you read into what the Supreme Court decided is they move on with this. So that, I think, is a good sign because they're saying it's not a tax, basically. And now today talking about the so-called individual health mandate, which basically means health care for everybody. What do you think is going to happen with the Supreme Court?
I think that they will agree that the bill is constitutional, that the law is constitutional. I don't think they will declare it unconstitutional for two or three reasons. One, I think that they realize that we really can't go back to the old days. The system of insurance as we had it before the Affordable Care Act is not sustainable. That's why we had increasing millions of Americans finding themselves in the ranks of the uninsured and many more millions in the ranks of the underinsured. If we go back, that number is not going to do anything except increase, and healthcare costs are going to continue to go out the roof. This does a lot to bring people into coverage who didn't have coverage before. The other reason is that I think even the conservative justices will realize that the individual mandate was a conservative idea. It came straight out of the Heritage Foundation. So a lot of these conservative justices, they read the stuff that comes out of the Heritage Foundation on a regular basis. And the insurance industry needs this to keep going forward. In many ways, the Affordable Care Act like builds on what we have, tries to make it better, and does in many ways. If you take it away, I think the justices realize it'll just be a very short period of time before the system implodes.
All right, Wendell Potter, what a note to end on. Thanks so much for coming to America Tonight's Corner of the World.
Thank you, Kate.
Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, one perspective on healthcare, obviously, and you heard him talk about some of the things that went into his reasoning and what he thought was what we would expect to happen as, if things continued based on what he had seen from insurance companies. You know, this is something that I said, probably 3-4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago when I first jumped onto the show, is if only there had been competition in the beginning, if only you hadn't had such a crazy monopoly in one sense and no competition between states, et cetera, erasing the state lines, maybe things would have been a little bit differently, would have flushed out a little bit differently for a lot of people. But then again, who knows? Once an industry is allowed to run rampant or, you know, roughshod over people the way some in insurance have been able to do, you know, this is ultimately what you end up with. And I think the biggest mistake is it's not so much health reform as insurance reform, because it's about insurance. It's about the whole third-party situation, which is part of the problem. And, you know, ultimately where we could have been, it always seems to be that question with us, whether we're talking about energy, healthcare, taxes, the deficit, where we could be versus where we are if a few things had happened and some people had listened and there had been more of a discussion. If nothing else, everything that's happened with the Supreme Court and what's happened in the last 2 years anyway leading up to this challenge, it has more conversation going on, which I think is positive, because I think part of the rush to get this on the books was let's just throw it together, throw it on the books, and then we'll sort it out after that. Well, this is what happens when you sort it out. You see the anger rise and the confusion, and we see that so many people have had their premiums rise, and that's a problem. I mean, when you're talking about premiums that are going up 8%, 10%, 30%. In California, a lot of people had premiums shoot up 30%. Jeez, how do you cover that? Hey, coming up on the flip side, we're going to read some of your emails. If you want to chime in, you can throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791.
Diesel owners, have you had enough of hard starts, poor mileage, and poor performance? The cause is Stiction, a gummy residue that clings to injectors like cholesterol clings to arteries. Stiction robs your diesel engine of power, performance, and gas mileage. The answer, Hot Shot Secret.
This is Lee from Minnesota. I have a F-350 with a 6.0 diesel, and I had many injector problems and hard starting problems. After I added Hot Shot Secret, it now starts better, feels stronger, and my mileage went up 2 miles per gallon. I recommend Hot Shot Secret to anyone with a diesel engine.
Hot Shot Secret, the only oil additive engineered to remove Stiction in all diesel engines. Clean from the inside out with Hot Shot Secret. Available nationwide at all Tractor Supply stores or call 800-341-6516. That's 800-341-6516. Or go to HotShotSecret.com. Hot Shot Secret, powered by science.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer, localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
The Supreme Court is ground zero, as you all know, for the president's affordable health care law, swinging into now its third year because they just had the two-year anniversary. More parts of the implementation are set to kick in, including something we've talked about a ton on this show, the individual health mandate, which requires everyone to have health insurance or be basically fined by the IRS, if we wanted to break it down that way. Several states are challenging the constitutionality of the law. Who wins, who loses? Needless to say, this is huge for all of us. Dr. Richard Amerling joins us. He's the Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine at Albert Einstein College of Medicine and has such a huge resume that would take us all the show to go through it. But he's also the Director of Outpatient Dialysis at Beth Israel as well, fine medical center in New York. Doc, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We know you have to be busy.
My pleasure.
I saw a piece that that you put together on what we're talking about here, coming up with the really basically coming up with some points onto what's happening with healthcare, and I loved the title under the vision of the clouded utopian vision for healthcare ignores reality. You put it so succinctly in that header. What in your mind, as you watch already in the past 2 years what's unfolded, is this really for the greater good of all of us here in these United States?
Well, that's what they always claim. And the utopians claim to be re-engineering things for the greater good. That's the perfection of human society, which, of course, can never be achieved. And I was very impressed with Mark Levin's book on this topic called Ameritopia. So I quoted a little bit from his book, or at least I summarized a little bit from his book. And healthcare, of course, is the utopian's dream. And this fantasy of control of people through healthcare goes all the way back to Plato's Republic, as he points out in his book. But it's not really about healthcare. The healthcare system certainly has problems, I think most of which are related to government policy in one way or another, but to try to take it over completely and reshape it from the top down has got to be a complete disaster. It's way too complicated a system for a group of elites to be able to do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's part of the problem. We're already seeing that in the couple of things that have happened in the implementation, and we're far from the whole law being processed all the way out, because the way the law, as you know, with the 800-plus pages, was put into action, the individual health mandate, which is part of this challenge, hasn't even kicked in yet.
That's right.
What happens? So we're challenging the unconstitutionality of this mandate for everybody to buy health insurance. And you kind of laid it out for us there, but why, for people, there's going to be people listening that say, oh, well, this is ridiculous. Why shouldn't everybody have health care? How can these, they're barbaric. How can these people not think that? But it's, and I see how you chuckle, and I agree. And what would you say to that? Would you say, you're a doctor. What would you say to that when someone says back to you, well, we live in the United States. Do you not care about people who don't have a ton of money?
Well, there are many ways to provide health care. The government cannot do it, and they've demonstrated how incompetent they are every time they try. And just look at Medicaid and Medicare for two prime examples of systems that are very heavily bureaucratized and also going bankrupt, if not already bankrupt. So it's not something that they're really well equipped to do, nor are they authorized to do this by the Constitution. And that's the whole point of these numerous legal challenges going on right now. And in fact, our organization, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, has filed our own lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of this act. And it comes down to whether government has the power to tell citizens that they must purchase something. This goes way beyond any possible interpretation of the Commerce Clause. If this is upheld, then there really are no limits on what the government, the federal government, can tell you to do. And you've seen recently how they're going to be applying this to insurance companies, which are private companies. They're going to tell them what they must provide and what they must charge, as in the case of the contraception mandate. They're going to have to provide this for free. So, you know, where do they get this authority from? It's certainly nowhere in the Constitution.
Yeah. The other thing to talk about with this whole thing is what the government health care, what they talk about a lot, and I saw this when I went to Washington and listened, talked to some really smart folks, but what they kept pushing and telling me was it's all about preventative care. But
right.
What would you say to that? Do we really know that that works when you tell people, come in and this is how you can reduce your weight, and gosh, if you lose 50 to 70 pounds or whatever amount of weight you have to lose, you won't have a heart attack. Do we know that people even gravitate toward this?
Well, there are ways of getting that message out there, and I, this is something that I'm working on for my next article, by the way. It's why our healthcare costs are so high. And one of the reasons is that we are subsidizing healthcare in many ways, mostly through the tax system with employer-based care. And this subsidization of healthcare has, I believe, led to, in many ways, unhealthy lifestyles. Because we don't really feel an economic pinch when healthcare is being paid for by someone else, supposedly, you know, like other people's money. So we have allowed ourselves to be lulled into a sense of security that isn't real. So, for example, if you were responsible for, let's say, the first $5,000 of your health care coverage, of your health expenses,
sure.
And you have hypertension and maybe you've got a little bit of diabetes going on, well, are you going to spend that money on diabetes and hypertension medication, or are you going to lose that 20 pounds? You know, so this is the sort of thing that I think could be dealt with very readily by going back to a system where people assume more responsibility for their own care, not through a government telling us what to do. And, of course, they're paying for these preventive measures, which are untested, by taking money out of the Medicare program, essentially, almost $600 billion over 10 years. And so they're taking money out of a program for seniors who already have diseases. And every day of my practice, I see people who are desperately ill and who absolutely need care. And I'm kind of scared that the money is just not going to be there to take care of these people who are already sick. And this is what I mean about how they ignore reality. The reality is we have all these millions and millions of very sick people already in the system, and they're very happy to pull the rug out from under them to finance this utopian dream of preventive care where everybody is going to be eating granola and living to be 120.
I'm just picturing that in my head. And, you know, playing along that same fantasy, this utopian fantasy, with the doctors who then have to be concerned about what, you know, how can they possibly met out all this care, as you're saying, all the sick people that are already there. When you're talking about money and fixed fees for certain services, geez, what is that going to do to everybody? You just better, it's like you're saying, you better stay healthy. Is that the idea?
Well, yes. I mean, they've destroyed the systems that they've already been involved with, Medicare and Medicaid, through years and years of very heavy-handed price controls. And that's what's coming for the rest of medical care, through Obamacare, through the private insurance business, which will then become heavily regulated, and they'll be told what they have to provide and how much they can charge. And the Independent Payment Advisory Board is this unelected, unaccountable group of 15 so-called experts. We don't know who they're going to be, how they're going to be chosen, who are going to be making policy about what's going to be paid for by Medicare initially, but ultimately I am sure that this is going to cover all of private health care as well. And they are going to be, in effect, a rationing board. And this is where it's going to go. And doctors are going to be squeezed. Hospitals are going to be squeezed. Doctors will leave practice. There will be an even greater shortage of physicians than there is now. And, yeah, you're going to have your Obamacare card, but you're not going to be able to get care because there's not going to be anybody there to give it to you.
Yeah. What what ultimately do you think will happen with some of your colleagues? What I'm seeing through some doctors I know is a lot are feel like they're going to have to wrap up their practice and do something else medicine-wise because they don't, let's say, with a family physician, because it's not going to be even cost-effective for them to be in the business of medicine anymore. And I think that's a very sad prediction. But do you think that we're going to see that happen with doctors that you know as well? Do you hear this kind of talk?
I do. There are two major trends that I see happening now. One, which has really been gathering steam over the last 5 years, is that doctors are selling their practices. Doctors who have been in private practice are selling their practice and moving into the hospital setting in one way or another. And this way, they have a little bit of a protection against the changing laws. They have some cushion in terms of malpractice insurance. They may actually get a better deal financially on what they do, but they're then going to have to work for the hospital and follow the hospital protocols and guidelines, and they're going to have to be concerned about getting their patients out promptly. They're going to have to use the hospital formulary for their medications. So it will come with strings attached. So that's one trend, and I'm concerned about it because I think the doctors are going to lose a lot of their professional autonomy.
Yeah.
The other trend I think is actually a good one, which is that doctors are going to make a commitment to stay in private practice by getting out of their third-party contracts with different insurers and perhaps going the concierge route where they're going to charge a retainer fee to a core of patients to give them an extra financial cushion. They're going to cut down their office staff because they're going to just get paid at the time of service, so they don't have to have a huge billing staff administering these papers, pushing these papers around. And they'll simplify their practice and stay in the private practice of medicine. And I hope that that trend increases.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Amerling, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Thanks, Doc.
Bye-bye.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original BioMat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FloJack hand well pump. The affordable FloJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FloJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FloJack.com, spelled FloJack.com. Be sure to spell FloJack.com or call 855-4-FLOJACK, 855-4-FLOJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America, FloJack hand well pumps, peace of mind in a box.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
I like to see you right across the floor.
All right, we're back on America Tonight with me, Pete Delaney, talking health care and how it affects you. Keep this number handy, 800-259-5791. But right now, let's get the skinny on what does this mean? Because, you know, there's all angles as to what happens ultimately with what the Supreme Court rules, which I think will be possibly by the end of June. I mean, you know, you never know. Maybe they render a decision before that, but somehow I doubt that. Paul Bazell's been on with us before. Paul knows all about HR. In fact, he's an HR consultant. And what does that mean for companies? It should either way. I mean, especially if it's scrapped, that's one thing. But if it continues to move forward, what does that mean? That means probably lots and lots of changes. Hey, Paul, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
It's great to be back, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So obviously you're paying close attention to this because certainly this affects what you do in whether or not this gets upheld or it's struck down as unconstitutional, because that will affect companies that you work with and, of course, companies around the country. When you watch this, is that what you're thinking about? Are you coming up with strategies that you can tell people that they've got to work on?
Oh, I'll say that this day of reckoning was probably foreseeable for anybody that was really paying attention, going back maybe 10 or 15 years ago. The delivery system, employer-based delivery system for health insurance. Most people in the United States get their health insurance through an employer. Costs just have continued to go up and up and up and up and up, and the rules around those programs have become more and more and more strict and more wrought with liability and various punishments and all kinds of really disincentives for employers to continue offering health insurance to employees. So this day of reckoning was in the offing, I would assert, for some time, and it's a pretty exciting time right now because it's all happening, and healthcare reform laws sort of put the whole process in fast gear.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think, I mean, ultimately, as you watch all of this, and you and I have talked about this before, wouldn't it make more sense, especially if you continue to get on this road where it's costing more and more and more, and small businesses can't afford it, and then somebody gets sick in a small business, and that's just crippling, and then they're shopping someplace else trying to get insurance? Does it seem like in the future that you're going to have companies that just say, listen, this is part of your benefit package, here's what I'm giving you for health care, and you're going to have to go out and find your own?
Well, that what you're describing, Kate, is the blueprint, if you will, for the health insurance exchange approach. Yeah, so in the scenario that you're talking about, an employer would take the same approach that they currently take, say, with providing a 401k matching contribution to their employees. This is the amount of money that we can afford to put towards that particular benefit. Now you go ahead and you go out and buy it, in this case, on a health insurance exchange, if they do in fact actually become real in 2014. If that doesn't happen, your listeners might be interested to know that in some states there are private corporate exchanges up and running, and there'll be more of those available in the coming years. So really this change we see is going to happen with or without healthcare reform law. So this is very exciting. It is truly pivotal in our culture.
So, and you're absolutely right. And you're really right in the wheelhouse of this because you're helping these companies. They're going to have to navigate this because you said it. Most people are used to the system where simply you know, you're getting the insurance, the employer is paying the other half, boom, that's it. And especially if you're healthy, you're just not really thinking about it. You've got it, you go do your checkups or do whatever, boom, you pay your half, that's it. But that's all changing. So you've got to really, you've had to really navigate these waters. As I was saying, you've had to really look ahead. You've had to forecast ahead to make sure that the companies, if you're working with somebody, that they understand what's happening. I mean, of course they understand what's going on with the fees that keep going up, and they're asking the questions, why, how can I do this more effectively? Is that right?
Absolutely. And there's so much more to it. You know, there's all the discussion about the small employers, but don't forget the big employers. Their costs have gone up to unaffordable levels as well. So the conversations that we're having with our clients, which tend to be medium-sized companies, are really about, okay, if we did take this other route, if we discontinued offering the traditional approach to a group healthcare plan sponsored by us, the employer, how would we do it? What would it look like? What would we do with the money that we save? Is there really money being saved after the penalties are paid? All that is analysis and evaluation and a thought process. And then there's the human aspect to it all. Well, what about our employees? And believe me, everybody likes to poke at their employer as the big, bad, bottom-line-oriented employer, but I promise you there's as much sweat equity being put into the human side of this because employers really do value their employees at some level, and they cannot afford to have a morale problem or people walking off the job because their health insurance has vanished. So employers are trying to be extremely careful and very conscientious of, if we did this, how would it work for our employees to their benefit? And from our perspective, the benefit ultimately to employees, if we can get past the financial part, is ultimately having the individual choice, so that the scenario that you pointed out earlier, if someone's real healthy, they may make one decision for health insurance, where somebody who isn't as fortunate and maybe has some chronic health problems might make a completely different healthcare insurance decision. And that gives everybody that opportunity to do it and change it year to year.
Yeah, ultimately, Paul, doesn't this point out one thing, that we all have to be responsible for our own health care in a certain sense? Personally, whether you have a family, single, married, whatever it is, you gotta know how to navigate the system anyway. Because even with your employer doing it, they can, let's face it, half of us, you get handed these books full of gobbledygook that's not from the employer but from the insurance company. So you're always going to, if anything, this points out, is you have to know what your health care is all about anyway, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a part that employers are looking at playing. If, in fact, they do get out of the health insurance business, that's something that they can do to help employees along that path, is to provide them the education so that when they do go out and make those choices, they're making good ones.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And that would be key. I mean, if you can have companies set up that way where they can say, listen, here's A, B, C, and D, let me help you, boom, 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 that'd be great. Because I think that's where people really get lost. They're swamped. They're busy. It's not that they're pushing it off. It's that you assume everything's okay because of the one thing that I said, a lot of people are healthy and then something happens and you don't even know what covers what. Paul, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll see what happens with Supreme Court. It's going to be interesting. You're right.
Exciting time, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Paul Bazell, HR consultant, and there are a lot of people that are in the same line of work as Paul that are, I'm sure, swamped navigating this, is a great word for it, as we just talked about there, because what's at stake? Ultimately, the Supreme Court declares the law unconstitutional. What does that mean? What if only parts of the law... parts of the law still stand and some's unconstitutional, like the individual health mandate? What does that mean? The next couple of months is going to be debated heavily. And remember, we still have another day for the Supreme Court to hear oral arguments. And, you know, the law means one thing to one person and something else to somebody else. And you know where you stand. Are you... working yourself as an entrepreneur and getting insurance for your family? Are you dependent on a plan from a company? You know, 10 years down the line, even 5 years down the line, it's all going to look different. And one thing that Paul said is those health exchanges, if the law were to stand, would kick in 2014. Does it mean that you pay through the nose? Does it mean that you pay less? What does it mean about your coverage? That doesn't matter if it's all struck down, however. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to go to Hollywood next with Stephen Shohet. Hang with us.